1909. January 1st, 1909. The Wonderful Love of Christ. Ellen G. White. The Word of God, the Christian Bible, reveals His character. He Himself has declared His infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me Thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all My goodness pass before Thee." This is His glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He is slow to anger and of great kindness, because He delighteth in mercy. He has bound Himself to our hearts by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and the tenderest ties that human hearts can know, God has sought to reveal Himself to us. Yet even these but imperfectly represent His love. When all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good still blinded the eyes of men, so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of Him as severe and unforgiving. Then Jesus came to live among men, that through Him the infinite love of God might be revealed. Christ came from heaven to give to the world a correct representation of the Father. He says, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." And when one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" In describing His earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." This was His work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for He had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of His divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were displayed in every act of His life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that He might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach Him. Even little children were attracted to Him. They loved to climb upon His knees and gaze into that pensive face, benignant with love. March 1, 1909. The Secret of Victory. Ellen G. White. The Lord would have His people labor for unity and to answer the prayer of Christ. Here is our greatest hindrance. When we read, "The whole multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one mind," we understand that the agency of the Holy Spirit was doing its work on human hearts. Until the Holy Spirit is accepted and allowed to do its office work upon the heart, each individual will strive to become a center of influence for himself. But we know in our experience that harmonious subordination to the Spirit of God is rest and peace and joy. Then, think of the positive necessity of coming under this molding, transforming power in order to enjoy heaven in this life and eternal blessing in the future life. We are never to get above the simplicity of the work. It is a power in its simplicity. A consistent life, a fervent zeal, a meek and quiet spirit, mingled with a heart overflowing with love for perishing souls, is Bible religion. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The Lord help us all to follow Jesus. He will teach us the art of overcoming obstacles, of supplanting rivals, and winning hearts. I am sure we need Jesus at every step. I am sure Satan, with his hellish agencies, is striving his best to dishearten and discourage. But we must not be discouraged, neither must we fail. We must suffer loss and be spoken against, and have false witness borne against us, and take it patiently for Christ's sake. One thing is sure, God is true. We may lean heavily upon Him, and we shall not become confused amid the babble of voices. We must put the armor on and keep it on. Then what? Fight manfully the battles of the Lord, and having done all, stand ready for another conflict. We must keep in harmony, taking the whole armor of God. We must have increased faith and move forward, carrying this banner of truth, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. We must not think that we are the generals, but that we are under the mighty General of Armies. Oh, let us pray as never before. Let us believe with heart and soul the words of John. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. It is a poor time when in the fierce conflict to show one particle of cowardice. We have a general who never lost a battle. Have faith in God, and we shall gain the victory. Our Savior is the Restorer. How He longs to gather His children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Oh, that His people had hearkened unto Him, and Israel had walked in His ways! It is blinding unbelief and self-sufficiency that will not permit those that are in error to know Him. Then they would not crucify to themselves the Lord of glory, and put Him to an open shame. We must cultivate faith. We must believe at every step and talk courage and hope. Light, precious light, is for the people of God who will see it. November 1, 1909. To Every Man His Work. Ellen G. White. I thank my Heavenly Father that though all men have not the same traits of character, they may all be worked by the same Spirit, even the Spirit of Him who is the head of the church, and who in heaven teaches the angels how to minister to the members of His church on earth. Jesus is ministering in the heavenly sanctuary, but He is with His workers also, for He declares, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." He is spiritual director of His church on earth, and He longs to see the members filled with a determination to labor harmoniously for the advancement of His kingdom. He has raised up a succession of workers who derive their authority from Him, the great teacher. He has chosen for His work men of varied talents and varied capabilities. Some of these might not be the men you would choose, but you will pass through an experience that will lead you to see that God exalts men whom you would regard as inferior to yourselves. When the judgment shall sit and the books are opened, many will be surprised by God's estimate of character. They will realize that God sees not as man sees, that He judges not as human beings judge. He reads the heart. He knows the motives that prompt the action, and He recognizes and commends every faithful effort put forth for Him. The Lord uses various gifts in His work. Let no worker think that his gifts are superior to those of another worker. Let God be the judge. He tests and approves His workers, and He places a just estimate on their qualifications. He has placed in the church a variety of gifts to meet the varied wants of the many minds with which his workers are brought in contact. The Lord has given to every man his work, and every man is to do the work that the Lord has given him. All have not the same gifts or the same disposition. All need to feel daily the converting power of the Holy Spirit, that they may bear much fruit for the Lord. It is not the one who preaches the gospel that provides the efficiency that makes his efforts successful. It is the unseen worker standing behind the minister who brings conviction and conversion to souls.